And Gaza Corner is something we do every Saturday night when I'm here at 11 o'clock. Dianne Feinstein died yesterday. She was 90. And if you read the corporate media obituaries, whether it be National Public Radio, The Washington Post, The New York Times, you name it, you'd have no idea that former Senator Feinstein was significantly active in promoting and protecting Palestinian rights. And if you, and I know this is a very low bar, but if you compare Feinstein's work to the overwhelming majority of her colleagues in Congress, it would be, you know, quite a difference. As most Democrats, we know the Republicans are very, very, you know, pro-Israel in terms of not even caring that there's an occupation. And most Democrats kind of feel the same way, but Feinstein did not. One obituary did name some of Feinstein's specific acts on behalf of Palestinians. And that was the pro-Israel nonprofit J Street. There's a link to that obituary at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist at tangents.com. This is how J Street describes itself, quoting from its own website. It promotes, quote, U.S. policies that embody our deeply held Jewish and democratic values and that help secure the state of Israel as a democratic homeland for the Jewish people. That's what upsets me. Why can't it be a democratic homeland for all the people? Why only the Jewish people? Doesn't matter how Palestinians are treated. I remember being in Israel several years back and talking to a bookstore owner, intelligent guy, and he said to me, you know, I don't think the Palestinians should be like fourth-class citizens. Second-class citizens, I think, is appropriate. And these people think of themselves as liberals. But the quote from the obituary from J Street in discussing, one of the few that I found that discussed Senator Feinstein's work on behalf of Palestinian rights, quote, her leadership helped to stop impending demolitions in Susia and Khan al-Ahmar. And she wasn't always this way. For years, she was a centrist, Israel right or wrong. She was allied with AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. But as a politician, her views evolved as she learned more about important subjects. I mean, at one point, she bucked the Democratic Party and was in favor of the death penalty. I think it was 2018 that her stance finally changed. And as she learned about the reality of the occupation and the consequences for Palestinians, especially living in the West Bank and Gaza, she emerged as the senator with the most stature and influence to pressure the Israeli government, often directly writing to Netanyahu to change or stop certain policies, usually dealing with imminent demolitions. And perhaps the person most, I think, familiar and maybe I can even say most instrumental in educating Feinstein and her staff about the dangers facing Palestinians due to the occupation is Donna Baranski-Walker. She's the executive director of the Bay Area organization Rebuilding Alliance. And let me get a disclaimer out of the way. At one time, I was on the board of directors, no longer. And I think there's no one better to discuss the critical work that Dianne Feinstein and her staff has done to try to protect the rights of Palestinians. And Donna Baranski Walker should be with us right now. Are you there, Donna?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks, Joy. Good to be on with you.
Well, you know, when you don't do a sound check, you never know. Donna, it's so good to see you, to hear you. And I'd like to turn it over to you, because most people have no idea that Dianne Feinstein and her staff did a lot of incredible work on behalf of protecting the homes of Palestinians and schools that were facing demolition. Talk about the work that she was involved in doing and your part in making that happen.
Thank you. I really want to offer condolences to the senator's family and to all who feel her loss. About a week ago, we brought a group of Palestinian youth to Congress, and they went to meet with her office. I got sick, thankfully not COVID, so I wasn't with them, but I made sure that they went to say thank you, because we'd just done a series of 125 Zoom briefings and some 20 in-person briefings about asking members of Congress to urge Israel to stop demolishing Palestinian local schools. What country in the world demolishes schools? Like, how could anyone oppose this? Senator Feinstein, though, when she heard about this, immediately picked up her pen and sent a letter to the Israeli government. And it stopped the demolition of Jimba School in August. And it stopped the demolition of Al-Fakit School right after that. And the reason why I think that the second one was related was because the same language came back also at 10 o'clock at night to the lawyer involved on behalf of the village, saying that they would stop what was supposed to be a demolition the next morning. I was really grateful. It seems so strange. Why would any congressman, congresswoman, House or Senate hesitate to reach out and press for a halt to demolitions of schools? It seems like the very least that they could do. Thankfully, the senator didn't hesitate. Even when I was informed by her staff that it was even the morning when she later took a fall and we had to report into the hospital, she was moving forward with these actions. It's worth mentioning something about how she got involved in our efforts to press for an end to the demolitions. And it's also extremely important to mention what happens next. Last week, a new group of settlers moved in very close to Susia Village without a champion like the senator. And by the way, the senator had written a series of six letters back and forth with the Prime Minister of Israel starting in 2015 that really can be the reason that Susia was not demolished, that it remains standing. What'll happen now? Surely this is the time when there's a way to use the senator's memory to press all of Congress to stop the demolition of local schools and the demolition of Palestinian neighborhoods. That's my hope. That's my hope for the thing that will outlive the senator and make her memory into a legacy that makes all this stop.
You have a banner in memory of Senator Feinstein. Is that at the website?
Yeah, it is on rebuildingalliance.org. Right at the top, It's in memory. You'll see a picture of the senator and Sadine in her chair. She was very proud of putting a little girl from Hanal, from Umm El Hayr village, a Bedouin village. She really wanted her to sit in her chair at her desk. We also had two other children, one from Susia, actually two from Susia. They're visiting too, and all of them presented their visions of peace to Congress in a public briefing that was really well attended. About 120 congressional staff were present for the briefing itself. What was really surprising was that the senator asked to meet with them personally, and to my amazement, she hugged them. I was in tears at that point in the meeting. She listened really carefully to what the children had to say, to what their parents had to say. She hugged them. She then took action by starting a series of letters to the Prime Minister of Israel back and forth. She's published many of those on her website. It was starting in 2015 and lasting, I think, through to 2017. And then continued. Every time we asked, we checked in with her staff, they would intervene. So a number of schools would remain standing because of this. It's invaluable.
But it's the work of rebuilding alliance to bring these children and children from Gaza. Not easy to take children out or to take anything out from Gaza.
Even from the West Bank, it was really hard. There's some amazing stories about, we have to get them to Jerusalem for their visa interview. And these permits that would allow them to go to Jerusalem were blocked consistently. It was through an amazing way of luck and very careful maneuvering, I suppose. I mean, the children and their parents got permission to go to the beach with a women's organization. And there they were in their swimsuits and were like, "You're at the beach? We've got to get you to the American Embassy." And so everyone really worked together. We had to get their passports moving independently via taxi, the people coming back from the beach and the embassy staying open, like to make it all happen. The ones from Gaza were exceptionally hard also. And for that reason, we're waiting until January or February on our next group of young people, children coming from Gaza and the West Bank, to do this again. To my surprise, I never expected that bringing Palestinian children would be the key to really speaking to American Congress. It worked again this particular round when we brought four from the West Bank in Jerusalem. And Congresswomen especially met with them. It was amazing to see, to listen to their vision of peace and to hear their questions, like, "What will you do to stop the settler violence against our village?" And actually get responses that were noteworthy, promising, tangible. Might make a difference.
One of the other things that Rebuilding Alliance does, maybe now, is it once a year, maybe more, maybe more, but you'll tell us, and that is actually bringing congressional staff, not one of these cupcake tours of Israel, but really seeing the occupation, in reality, going to places that AIPAC would never take a congressperson to, and seeing the true consequences of the occupation. And that's something that very few organizations do. So, is that,
That's really been important, Dori, because you came on one of those trips. It's amazing to me how effective those are, how long-lived the contacts are with each member of those staff that have traveled with us. Our next one was supposed to happen on October 7th, so same time that you're going to Greece. That's the day that the next Senate staff delegation was ready to go to Jerusalem and to the West Bank. It's an amazing group of people, three Republican offices, three Democratic Senate offices, three women, three men, everything set to go, except for one huge factor, which was US government shutdown.
Oh my
So
God.
yesterday, I canceled the trip because it looked like there was no way that the whole thing could come together given the government shutdown. If the government shut down, the staff members told me that for the most part, almost all of them would be essential personnel required to stay at their desks. And therefore, what kind of a trip would it be? So I sent the note forward that we would stop. And with a penalty, by the way, because the hotels are expecting us, it's high season, anyway. And then today, of course, the government in the 11th hour didn't shut down. So the board met tonight to figure out what do we do? Should we go forward or not? The hard part on this is that the trip almost works if constituents join the trip. But without constituents, it becomes extremely expensive
Yeah.
and probably more than what Rebuilding Alliance could do. So I got about a day to see if people would like to join their senators. So who's on the trip? Senator Welch's office from Vermont, Senator Booker's office from New Jersey, also Senator Cardin's office. So now two Senate Foreign Relations Committee members, Senator Tuberville's office from Alabama,
That's a shocker.
yeah, I know it's really great to hear from the staffers their desire to go to Jerusalem, their interest in history,
Yeah.
their interest in learning these issues from a in-depth perspective. All of that comes forward. In addition, Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas, his senior staff, and also Senator Ron Johnson's office from Wisconsin. So that means, at the very least, if there are people who would like to accompany Senate staff and pay for their own trip and pay for their own airfare, they would be joining, especially interested in people applying from Vermont, from Kansas, from Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Alabama. Personally, in this time of crisis, with this level of settler terrorism, where it's unseating entire communities, especially the Bedouin communities, in this time when there has to be a turnaround for Palestinian schools, I think the strongest thing Rebuilding Alliance could be doing is bringing congressional staff. So postponing to January is a tough
No,
thing to
that's
take.
it's so unpredictable. I mean, it can change from night to night whether we're having a government shutdown, I imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just wish you luck. Luck it will be the biggest factor, maybe. I'd like to, in the couple of minutes we have left, ask you about at least the top three polling candidates to replace Senator Feinstein, or Representative Adam Schiff, Representative Katie Porter, Representative Barbara Lee. Governor Newsom has said that he will pick someone to complete Senator Feinstein's term, who is an African American. I think a female. Did he say a female African American?
Yeah, he did. And then he put in a caveat after that, didn't he?
What was that?
He said that it'll be a female African American, but not someone currently running, so that he doesn't bias the slate. And so
Interesting.
that's caused a bit of upheaval.
Obviously, Barbara Lee is African American. Of those three candidates, or anybody else who might be viable, how do they compare with the, I would say, the activism that Senator Feinstein displayed?
Out of those three, the ones that have The one that has really influenced us and worked with us from the beginning is Representative Barbara Lee. She's the coach from the early on, in a way. The Bay Area, we'd formed a group called MEPAC. It's an alternative to APAC, the Middle East PAC. And it was a coalition of many different groups. We used to meet with her in person. And what she said was that on this issue, she couldn't stand alone. And what she advised was that we reach out to everyone else besides her, in addition to her, to keep her posted, to expect that she would join others. And she has. It was good advice, actually. It's led to a remarkable outreach for Rebuilding Alliance through constituents, even in districts you'd never expect that would come to Palestinian aid. There's an office in Nebraska where the chief of staff picks up the phone to call colleagues in the Israeli army to keep schools standing. And it just most unexpected, but it's all because constituents ask. Other than, I'm really impressed with the other candidates. They do good work, important and vital work. And but on this issue, we don't see them. Their staff haven't participated in our briefings, not even the Zoom calls, but Representative Barbara Lee does.
Donna, I'd like to first of all thank you for always being available even late at night to be on Gaza Corner from time to time, because you really are so plugged in on the ground in a way that most people can't even imagine. And the work that Rebuilding Alliance is so important. Harry, I'd like you to put the link, if you go to rebuildingalliance.org, put that email Congress to help Palestinian communities safe, put that on the Tangents playlist. Anyone can go to rebuildingalliance.org and you can see for yourself on the page that pops up this email Congress to keep Palestinian communities safe, but we'll have it on the Tangents playlist. As well, Harry, put a link to donate to Rebuilding Alliance, because Donna, it's just such important work, and it's not a it's this is not I know from firsthand it's not an organization that is really political. You're trying to help people's lives and build awareness in what is truly going on. And I know how much work you do, and it's really incredible. So thank you so very much for your work and for helping, I think it's fair to say, Senator Feinstein and her staff to come up to speed in really what's going on, particularly in the West Bank and Gaza. So thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to everyone who joined those calls with Senator Feinstein. That made a huge difference. We can't do it without constituents being part of it. It's people are so surprised. Even now, when we brought young people from Palestine to meet with offices, we started in South Carolina, worked our way all the way to New York so that we would have those local meetings. And everyone's kind of amazed by how much access, how much goodwill there is, and how the congressional staff, House and Senate, are promising to be there for them as constituents whenever they ask. It's time to ask a lot. People need everyone's help, as Palestinians need our help. Thanks a lot, Dori. Really great to be on your show.
Yeah, we'll play a song that I tend to play. It's not really a song. It's a prayer. When someone passes away in the Jewish religion, it's called the Mourner's Kaddish. This is a tangential interpretation by the Bindi Society. Thank you, Donna, and good luck with the congressional delegation. And this
Thanks a
is
lot, Dori.
You're welcome. This is from the album Falling in Light on 91.7.
Please, please, for mom, please, not stay.